John Gotti, the legendary head of the Gambino crime family, has died of throat cancer at a federal prison hospital in Springfield, Missouri. He was 61 years old. Gotti earned the name the Teflon Don after he beat criminal charges 3 times in 5 years. But ultimately, the charges stuck. Gotti was convicted of murder and racketeering in 1992 and spent the rest of his life in prison. His trials turned John Gotti into a folk hero in parts of New York City. To others, he was simply a ruthless, murderous gangster. NPR's Melissa Block has this report.
The mugshot taken of John Gotti after his last arrest tells it all. Chin held high, Gotti sports a broad grin, the confident smile of someone who thinks he'll never be taken down. In that photograph, Gotti is meticulously tailored and coiffed, as always. Not for nothing was he known as the Dapper Don, as well as the Teflon Don.
He always dressed sharp, carried himself with a bit of a swagger. He thought he was the cat's meow.
Reporter Jerry Capisi is co-author of 2 books about John Gotti.
In the early stories, he was described as someone who wore $15,000 to $2,000 suits. Later on, we learned he was upset because he was paying $3,000 for his suits.
John Gotti was the 5th of 13 children, born to immigrant parents from Naples. He dropped out of high school at 16 and soon began racking up arrests for car theft, bookmaking, gun possession, burglary. In and out of jail, Gotti worked his way up the ranks of the Gambino family. Gotti was brutal and profane, and wiretaps captured him in full fury, as heard in this phone call, in which he browbeat an associate who hadn't returned his calls.
Listen, I called your house 5 times yesterday. Now, if your wife thinks you're a f***ing busky or she's a f***ing busky and you're going to disregard my f***ing phone calls, I'll blow you and that f***ing house up.
I never disregard anything you
want. Well, you call your f***ing wife up and you tell her.
All right.
Now, this is not a f***ing game. I don't know how to reach for you between days and nights, here. My f***ing time is valuable.
I know that.
Now, you get your f***ing ass down and see me tomorrow.
I'm going to be there all day tomorrow.
Yeah, never mind, you'll be there all day tomorrow. And never mind, I have to do this again, because if I hear anybody else calls and you respond within 5 days, I'll
In 1985, Gotti assured his own coronation when he orchestrated the murder of the Gambino boss, Paul Castellano, who was gunned down outside a Manhattan steakhouse in rush hour. J. Bruce Mao, longtime head of the FBI's Gambino squad, says Gotti was watching from his car just down the street from the assassination site.
He witnessed the murder. He drove by to make sure it was done right. And about a month later, John was elected as the boss of the Gambino crime family. That's the career development program in the mob. You know, if you want to get high, you kill the guy in front of you. Very simple.
As head of the Gambino family, Gotti was more than ever in the government's sights. But time and again, he beat the rap, and his courtroom triumphs burnished his aura of invincibility. In 1986, a mechanic who claimed Gotti had assaulted him suddenly couldn't identify Gotti from the witness stand. The headline in the New York Post screamed, "Eye for Gotti." The case was dismissed. The next year, a massive federal racketeering trial ended in acquittal on all counts. Later, a juror was convicted of taking a bribe to throw the case. And in 1989, when Gotti was arrested on conspiracy charges in the shooting of a union official, he told the cops, "I give you 3-1 odds I beat the case." He had it right. Another Gotti acquittal. Author Jerry Capisi describes the scene when Gotti walked out of the courthouse, his Teflon intact.
It was bedlam. It was a hero's welcome, which only doubled in size and in enthusiasm a few blocks away on Mulberry Street at the Ravenite Social Club. Fireworks went off and people were looking at the fireworks. It was an incredible scene. Hindsight, now we know that he was already a marked man and had helped bring himself down at the same time that everybody in the Gambino crime family was celebrating his victory.
The FBI had already planted bugs inside that same Ravenite Social Club, Gotti's hangout in Little Italy. It turned out the Dapper Don loved to talk, and he was caught on tape boasting about ordering mob hits, as he does here, describing when DB got whacked. I was in jail when I whacked him, Gotti said. I knew why it was being done. I'd done it anyway.
I knew why it was being done.
The DB who got whacked was Robert DiBernardo, one of 5 murders for which Gotti was ultimately convicted in 1992. Former FBI supervisor J. Bruce Mao says it was Gotti's own words that finally did him in.
John Gotti was our best witness. We had these 7.5 hours of tapes of John Gotti talking about murders, loan sharking, gambling. Minute after minute, you know, I whacked DB, I did this, I did that. His own voice. You can't deny that. That's why we convicted him.
That, along with the devastating testimony of turncoat underboss Sammy the Bull Gravano. With his showboating, his risk-taking, and his public nose-thumbing of law enforcement, John Gotti brought the Gambino crime family down with him, according to Ronald Goldstock, former director of the New York State Organized Crime Task Force.
He was a disaster for the family. He didn't understand that this was the end of Cosa Nostra, and he certainly didn't recognize that he was doing more than virtually anybody else to bring it to a rapid end.
In retrospect, Gotti's own words, captured on an FBI surveillance tape, are haunting. Gotti says, this is going to be a Cosa Nostra till I die. Be it an hour from now, or be it tonight, or 100 years from now, when I'm in jail, it's going to be a Cosa Nostra.
Be it an hour from now, be it tonight, or 100 years from now, when I'm in jail, it's going to be a Cosa Nostra.
Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.